Hey, everybody. It's Dan, the Charlie Kirk Show. A parent fights for his child in California. I'm also joined by my pastor, Rob McCoy, and Bryce Eddy. No advertisers in this episode. We talk about the need to get involved on a local level, how nasty, how awful it can be. I hope this is an inspiration for all of you to get involved in your school boards and keep the parents movement going. Thank you, Sean, for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Brian from Colorado, Cynthia from Arizona, David from Arizona, charliekirk.com/support, Marshall from Oregon, and Vivian from Ohio. We deeply appreciate it when you support us at charliekirk.com/support. Willoughby from Texas, Isaac from California, William from Alabama, Lanny from California, Jovita from California, Art from California, Barbara from Tennessee, Eric from Florida, Bernard from Virginia, Christine from Georgia, and Alexander from Delaware, charliekirk.com/support. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. No advertisers in this episode, and come to our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida, tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody, to this special episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. With us right now is my pastor, Rob McCoy. Rob,
Charlie,
welcome back.
Thanks, buddy.
And then joining us remotely is Bryce Eddy, the great Bryce. And Bryce, I don't know if you've ever been on our program, so welcome to our
audience. I have not yet.
So here we go.
Thank you, sir.
And Steve Schneider, who is a great American, and we're honored to have all of you guys. And we're to kind of talk about something important that is local in our focus, but national in nature.
Absolutely.
And so however you guys want to take it. Rob, do you want to start? And then we can kind of...
Yeah, let me do my best to frame it. And then I know Bryce and Steve will be able to add all kinds of insight to it. In our community, the Conejo Unified School District, CVUSD, there's two newspapers in the Conejo Valley where I reside. And as does Bryce and Steve. These two newspapers, one is The Guardian, the other is the Acorn. The Guardian did an article called Third Grade Teacher Promotes Gender Confusion in the Classroom. And it was an article writing on behalf of Steve Schneider, who's on the program with us, who was standing in defense of his third grade daughter, who was told by the teacher to, now these are the new pronouns of this, you know, fellow student in your class, and this is a book I want to read to you on transgender, and then expose the children to a video without parental permission. Steve took issue with it. The Conejo Guardian, on his behalf, wrote a very, very clear and concise article. Mm-hmm. Everything in it was true. Good reporting. The Acorn, which is a defender of, you know, what I would say the California Teachers Association and the district itself, took great offense to it. Then the news channels came out, CBS. They did a whole thing on it. And then there was graffiti at that elementary school. And they blame Steve Schneider for it. The police came to his house. He'll tell you more about that. He wasn't even there, so it was crazy. I'm wondering if they're going to arrest the people that said they witnessed him doing it, which is why the police searched his home to begin with.
Filing a false police report.
Exactly. And so we've had people show up in the school board meetings. They've been dismissed. They've just been relegated. This is the other one. The superintendent of schools wrote a letter to every parent in the district, wow, blaming the newspaper, The Guardian, and saying we were the ones responsible for the graffiti. And then Joel Kirkpatrick, who is the Kilpatrick, he's the one who is the editor for this Guardian, wrote a great response. And so that's where we are. And tonight there's a school board meeting. And
being June 21st. Whenever it airs.
Yeah.
But it's going to go on beyond that.
Yeah, of course. We're just going to keep fighting this. So that's the outline. Let these guys tell you more about it.
Bryce and Steve, you guys take it how you want, and we'll let you take it from there.
So let me just add one thing, because the book is called Call Me Max. And the book, the kind of underlying premise of it is this, you know, this kid has got, you know, gender confusion. And one of the lines in it is that your parents guessed at your gender, and they guessed wrong. And so a lot of this has to do with the parental side of it. And I want Steve to really weigh in on that, because they completely ignored his concerns. And Steve, talk about that a little bit.
You know, there was no communication between the school and me at all. Not even afterwards when they sent her home with that day. You know, we found out from my daughter, who's 8 years old. Hmm. And she clearly had questions. We didn't know how to answer that. It was, you know, I was blindsided. I'm sure everyone could agree that a parent should be included in these types of matters. You know, outside of reading, writing, and arithmetic, we gotta know ahead of time. And that's what this is about, parental rights.
So let me just make sure that I'm tracking with this. So you have a third grader, mm-hmm. who is like either 9 or 10 or 11, if I'm remembering.
Eight.
Okay. Got it. So a third grader who is, by all legal definitions, you know, innocent from these topics, goes mm-hmm. to class. Somebody declares that they're transitioning, but the teacher then decides not to just let that be, but then show a book or a video. Is that right, Bryce and Steve, called Call Me Max? Is that right? So inserting extra curriculum unapproved by parents that then sparks all these other questions and basically cutting in line for where a parent otherwise would be having these very mature conversations with their child. Am I tracking that correctly?
Pretty much, but we're missing an important point I want to bring up. Before the teacher decided that she was going to show the video, she went to the principal of Maple Elementary School and asked if she needed permission to show the video. And the principal, from what the way I understand it, from what was explained to my wife, is that the principal told her, no, you don't need permission.
Wow.
And to go ahead and show the video. So
wait, so the teacher actually did something right. The teacher went out of their way. I don't want to say something right, but the teacher said, wait a second, will I get in trouble for showing this? And was given a green light. Is that correct?
That's correct. And this teacher I've known through two children now at that school, and I'm actually pretty shocked she did this without communicating with us.
And so go ahead, Bryce.
And when Steve went to the principal and addressed this, the principal turned around and walked away.
She ran away. I approached her after a few days. I told my wife, I said, you know, can you handle this and let me know what happens? But there was no communication from the school. I mean, you would think that there would be some type of communication, and there was none. And then, to my disbelief, when I confronted her about it and said, you know, hey, what is going on? It was short. She denied everything. She ran towards the office, and that was the end of it.
Rob, you have a thought?
Yeah, I just want to set the stage. Now, folks would try to say, oh, he's a member of your congregation. This is all part of God's speech church. Steve has never stepped foot, except for this last Sunday, has never stepped foot in our church. You're Jewish, right? I mean, not that that's an issue. It's just we're Christian, Jewish. I mean, it wasn't like God speak was your fellowship. But we've come alongside the community and our neighbors defending their right to be parents to their children.
Amen.
And that's where Steve has found a voice. And I want to commend him. He's one of the bravest guys I've ever met.
So that's where the story gets interesting, in my opinion. It's notable that they were putting this into a third grader's classroom, totally violating parental notification and parental rights. But then, Steve, then you fell victim to what so many other parents listening to this are afraid of, and so many other parents listening to this have also fallen victim to, which is the snares of this mob, this cartel almost. Talk about what happened next.
You know, I mean, it goes pretty wild. After the paper came out, there was a lot of pushback in the community, but within days of that, there was some graffiti put on the school. Someone wrote, "Pervs work here." And when I found out about it, was, you know, pretty late at night, and I was, you know, upset. This is my daughter's school. We don't need this type of thing happening over there. And, you know, it's just, it's not the right way of going about things. I think everyone could agree with that. But apparently the police department received some anonymous calls saying that I was the suspect and that they saw me do it. And somewhere around the time CBS showed up at Maple Elementary and around my corners, and I got a call from the detectives, and I told them right off the bat, I said, you know, I don't want to waste time. Just come over to my house and we'll talk. So they came in. They basically told me I was a suspect. They're following up on leads, and give them access to all my electronics. my Ring cameras. I said, you could have anything you want. You don't need a warrant. I know better to talk to you, but you know what? Just come inside because I'm innocent. But they went through every room, my garage, my house, and I think I proved my innocence that day. I've spoken with them since then, and they're actually a good group of guys. I do appreciate everything that they did.
And so now this has been kind of elevated to the school board level. Can Bryce or Rob, can you fill us in on kind of where that is?
So a number of citizens showed up at the school board meeting. Bryce will go into greater detail. I just want to add one more aspect to this. There's Dr. Sean A. Anderson, a psychologist who works with trauma, and she's an amazing person. And she wrote a medical outline in defense of Steve's position for his 8-year-old daughter, that this is detrimental to a child. Now they've filed complaints to the board to try to get her her license removed.
Her doctor's license?
Yeah, her doctor's license removed. Yeah,
that's how they work.
It's how they work. It's just brutal what they're doing, and they're in collusion every single step of the way. So go ahead and add some more nuance to it with the school board meeting that's already happened and the one that's about to happen.
Well, let me add to that. It's the Caneo Valley, I think they're called the Unity Project, that's actually the ones that filed the complaint against Shanae. And all of this stuff has been done under the guise of unity, including what the actual superintendent of schools wrote up. You know, that was his title. You know, we're all about unity and all that stuff. Yeah. As he then excoriated everyone who is not advocating for the abuse and gender confusion of kids.
Incredible. Yeah. And so I suppose the question is, Steve, you know, this is more of a personal question, but it might be too early for you to answer this. Do you regret speaking out against this at this point?
No chance. I'm not upset at all. I think everyone listening today would agree with me. The second our kid was born, we looked at our kids and we said, we have our own oath. And I bet you, I'm willing to bet that everyone's oath was pretty similar. And at some point, everyone's going to be called to duty on that oath. And that was my day. And so I'm standing up. I'm going to fulfill that duty. And listen, I know the other side is listening. You're going to lose. We're going to win. And we're going to get what we want out of this. You know, you cannot take away a parent's rights like this.
I love that. And I want to encourage you. What does victory look like? Because sometimes it can feel like you're just fighting, you know, an endless kind of tornado. It's like it's us against nature is what it feels like. Yeah. But actually, these people are super weak. What does victory look like?
Well, let's first get the board out of there, and then we'll move on to the next boards in California. And then once we flip this state and we put the right people in the school board to help our children avoid things like this, then we'll see where it goes from there. But for now, it's a victory is going to be getting rid of CVUSD board members.
Yeah. Additionally, they think that they own our kids. That's the big thing here is they believe that they own our children. And what they also believe is that the majority of parents and teachers are with them. And they are not. So victory here is getting other parents and the teachers who are afraid to stand up. And guys like Steve are leading that because, you know, you have to be willing to take some of these arrows because they come in full force against you. And you have to be very clear on what they're doing. They're advocating for child abuse that, you know, starts with this sort of stuff and ends in chemical castration and mutilation of kids. That's really what they are pushing here.
That's exactly right.
This is we don't have a lot of time, but the superintendent of schools sent this out to every parent in the community, we can have the letter available for folks to read in its entirety. But he basically blames the newspaper, the alternative newspaper in our town, which is the one that reports well, and he comes after it, but never addresses any. With clarity, any allegations or anything with evidence towards the paper itself. And then the editor of the Guardian, his response was tremendous. And if we can take a second, can
please
I just
do.
Read it?
Yes.
He says, to the Conejo Valley community, in response to the Conejo Guardian story, third grade teacher promotes gender confusion in classroom, CVUSD Superintendent Mark McLaughlin emailed a response apparently to all CVUSD parents and employees in which he resorted to bluster and slander because the facts are entirely against him. McLaughlin did not even attempt to argue that the Guardian article is incorrect in any particular.
We challenge McLaughlin to point to any inaccuracy or error in our article or in any article the Guardian has published about CVUSD. We call on McLaughlin to cease and desist making baseless statements and retract his comments, or we'll bring legal action against him personally and in his capacity as CVUSD superintendent. The facts of the story stand undisputed. A Maple Elementary third grade teacher whose name we elected not to publish in the first article presented a girl student to a class as a boy with a new name. We elected not to publish the child's new name, then showed a video promoting transgenderism called Call Me Max. As stated in the article, the Guardian sought comment from the principal, Patty Lewis, and the Parent Faculty Association, and received no response from either. The article came out because a concerned father, and that's Steve, of a child in this third grade class was so troubled that this had happened without parent permission or notification that he attended and spoke at the CVUSD school board meeting. He requested to speak with board members, but they would not contact him. Principal Patty Lewis and the third grade teacher were similarly dismissive, according to this father, which led him to approach the Conejo Guardian. After verifying what had happened, we published an accurate story, which McLaughlin has not sought to challenge directly because it is true and factual. Perhaps more importantly, McLaughlin's letter marks a turning point for CVSD schools. The superintendent declares publicly in his own words that all students in every grade level, in any class, in any CVUSD school can at any time be taught transgenderism for the sake of inclusion, and parents don't need to be notified that this is happening. This is coming from a primary public servant over the area's public school children. And the article goes on. It's accurate, and yet it seems as though the CVUSD thinks that there isn't going to be any backlash and that they control the major paper. But we just basically said, Charlie, if we can get national attention on this like we did in the Loudoun County, guys like Steve, that man's brave, and I want to stand behind him. It's just remarkable what he's done, and he deserves accolades and support from across the country.
Do you anticipate, Bryce or Steve, a good amount of people showing up to school boards now and really caring about this because of it? Or what's your read on that?
Well, you know, there's been a big call out for support for Steve, and people are showing up like crazy, which is awesome. On the other side of it, you know, there's a bunch of agitators that are declaring that they're going to show up. The, you know, local Antifa group and, you know, those knuckleheads are saying that they're going to be there. So, you know, we're going to hold the line and, you know, be calm and respectful and do all that we need to do in the face of these people. But I think it's going to get pretty heated.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that there's going to be an overwhelming amount of support tonight, and I think the school board is going to have to reconsider their position at this point. Inclusion means everybody, and they excluded the parents, and we're not going to stand.
Yeah.
So, Bryce, you and I were texting when this was bubbling up a couple weeks ago, and you said you were getting kind of competing pieces of advice, and I told you, you got to fight, punch back twice as hard. What have you kind of learned through this, kind of for other parents that are maybe in the middle or on the edge of publicizing or standing against this kind of nonsense in public schools?
Yeah. So first, listen, my natural inclination, I'm a, you know, combat sports athlete, right? So my natural inclination is to lean in and press in and fight these things. But I want to be, like Rob says, dangerous and wise, you know, and we have to strike the appropriate tones of these things. But the real thing here is, we need other people to be safe and know that they can participate and should push back, because they don't own our kids, and the teachers and the parents need to see the example. Once you do stand up, look, these people are wimps at the end of the day. And in the last school board meeting, the people that were trying to dox all of the people that were supporting Steve and tried to lay out the people that are behind the alternative paper here and, you know, naming names and all that stuff, they were crying, you know, at the school board meeting. We need to stand up, and we need to do it bravely, because they will back down.
They had the audacity to call Steve a Nazi. His family survived Auschwitz. Is that correct, Steve?
My family escaped various parts of Austria, different parts of Germany, and some didn't. But yeah, no, I'm a first generation Israeli American on my dad's side. So to call me a Nazi is pretty unintelligent.
Yeah, well, their ideas don't stand up to any scrutiny. And so that's all that they have. That's all that they can do is attack and, you know, say silly things like that.
They blanket the parking lot of the church with flyers. You know, while we're in worshiping, they're out there saying, you know, racist, fascist,
bigot, on and on and on. And they just, and then they're sending out postcards all throughout the community with the same accusations, simply because you're standing on behalf of parental rights and you're not bowing to something that is chemical castration for children and exposing them. And they have no right to do this. And yet they're public servants and they don't want any light on this. And so if they're not going to allow Steve and other parents to have a public hearing, then we're just going to take it nationally. That's why I'm, again, Charlie, grateful to you that, that folks across the nation will pick this up and we'll get some national exposure to it. Bless you.
I say you're welcome by sneezing.
Yeah. well, you did it twice. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, but let's talk about like the nationalization of this, meaning the national implications. There's people in Florida right now listening to this, people in Virginia, people in Wisconsin, and they're debating whether or not they should stand and fight. And they have to also realize this is a long fight. This is going to take a fair amount of struggle. What would your advice be to them first, Rob, and then we can throw it back to them?
It's perfect timing on the question because, as I was telling you about Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and they've come after her and they're trying to get her license and they've filed a complaint, and she just said, "What should I do? And how do I handle this?" And I said, "Civility is not in their dictionary. And your question is, what do I do?" And I just said, "You do what is right." And she understood that. And I said, "Look, Shawnee, to everyone is given a measure of faith." Mm-hmm. And what is it, you know, we say this about, say, police officers or the like, where it's pensions over over conviction. You're more concerned with your pension than you are with what's doing what's right. Well, and I said the same thing to Shawnee. You're going to maintain a license, a medical license, over an organization that is allowing this to continue in the lives of children. Is that license now valid? Is it worth anything to you? You're doing what's right. You know medically, you've been educated and trained. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to walk that. Well, to her credit, she's one of the bravest people I've ever met. She's standing strong. It doesn't matter. She's counted the cost. And I think everyone has to look at that and say, this is more valuable to me, the freedom of my children and my grandchildren, mm-hmm. than my temporary, you know, what it would be, comfort or safety or security. That really isn't any of those things. They're just causing you to compromise. And so the bravery of Shawnee, the bravery of Steve, they're putting it on the line, and it's going to come at a cost. But listen, whatever that cost is, it pales in comparison to the celestial article of freedom that is the most valuable thing you can give your children. Do not cower. Don't cower. Do your job. No more supreme cowardice is permitted. It's not like we signed up to do this. I didn't want to go before the judge on contempt charges because the governor said the church is non-essential. He has no right. And I didn't. That's not what I wanted to do in life. I don't enjoy this. And Shawnee doesn't enjoy it. And Steve doesn't enjoy it. We didn't sign up for this. But to say that they're courageous, but you can't do it, all you're simply stating is cowardice. You can do it. Anyone can do it. You're just not valuing freedom as much as you are your temporary security. Mm. And you're not looking at generations to come. It's time Americans stand and do what's necessary for this.
But Bryce and Steve, you guys might get nasty looks at your kids' soccer games. So, I mean, how are parents supposed to deal with that?
People looked at me sideways before. That's okay. But I would like to say this to parents out there watching and listening right now, especially the people in my community. There's been a lot of support. I think there's been more support than negativity. Yeah. I think it's time. I think we're kind of ready to say something. And there's people that are afraid. I know you're afraid. I was afraid. The reality is, if you don't do something, the question is, what are they actually hiding from us beyond this? And what's next? If you don't say something and stand up for your kids, I'll go as far as I can. But at some point, you know, you got to jump in at some point. What does that mean? What does that look like for some people? Maybe vote in the right direction, get the right school board in place. And if you won't stand and you'll do that, then, you know, hey, we still have your back. Thank you. But for those of you who are willing to stand and fight with me, I'll fight with you.
Yeah, and I'll add, for years we've been hostage to some of these evil ideologies, and people have not stood up and fought because they thought that, okay, I guess this is what we just have to go along with. And we have to stop wanting to be liked by people who are promoting evil. Now, I don't care to be liked anyway. I mean, I prefer to, but I don't really need to be liked. But courage is contagious. So guys like Steve, you know, need to be standing up. And the more Steves we have, you know, mm-hmm. that take some of those first arrows and expose the weakness of these people and the fact that the only thing that they have to add is to call you a Nazi or a bigot or a racist or a whatever, transphobe. You know, once that gets exposed, then more people will come along and say, get out of here with that ridiculous stuff.
Yes. I'll never be ashamed for standing for my children, ever.
There it is.
So, Bryce, I'm interested in one wrinkle of this. If I'm not mistaken, you homeschool your children. Is that correct?
We do, yeah.
So then why do you care about this? I mean, I hear this all the time. People say, I homeschool my kids. I don't care about my public school. It's a waste of time. Tell us.
Well, because I care, I care for other people's children. You know, I am blessed that we've been able to homeschool, and that's not a reality for everyone. You know, I know that you, Charlie, you're working on some awesome things that is trying to make it a reality for more people.
Yes, and we're working on it.
That's right.
Yeah, and we all need to come together to provide opportunities for people who have to. You know, their only alternative, a lot of people feel, is to put them in public school, and I think it's, you know. Dennis Prager says this about universities, that you're playing Russian roulette with your kids, sending them to yes. a university where all chambers are filled except for one. And the truth is that now they brought this down into public schools, and they're conditioning these kids very young into just, you know, terrible confusion and evil thoughts. We care about truth, and we care about other people's kids.
That's right.
And so, yeah, it's just fascinating, Bryce, because a lot of our audience says, you know, I'm taking my kids out. I don't care about the school boards. But Rob, if you're a Christian, which if you're homeschooling, you're probably a Christian, but that's not always true, but probably. We're called to be salt and light. You can't just not care. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, the Bible says, Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law, the prophets. Love your neighbors yourself. I want for parents in the Conejo the same I want for their kids, the same I want for mine. I want them to have freedom. I want their purity to be protected. I want their innocence to be protected. I want truth to be able to be known instead of learning, teaching them how to learn instead of indoctrinating them. We educate them, and instead of them being a pawn for a social experiment, we protect them from that. And as we're watching, you know, FDA approval of this and that, and all these other things, all this stuff coming down on our kids, we're going to stand in the gap on their behalf. And that's what every Christian should do. The Bible commands that, you know, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, I'll build my public square, my assembly, my city hall, stepping in to that realm of culture that decides the welfare, which politics, like you and I both know, highest form of community. Morality and sociability. We contend for the welfare of our city, and the school. That's the generation. What's taught in this generation of children will be the politics of the next, and we have to do this. Mm-hmm. We don't have a choice as Christians. We've been called to love our neighbors ourselves, and that's why it's absolutely pertinent that every Christian engage in these topics and should be at those school board meetings on behalf. Of our brother here, Steve, who may not go to your church and may not profess faith in what you believe, but he has found respite, strength, and encouragement from our fellowship because he's our neighbor, and we love that man.
So, yeah, Steve, can you talk about that? You know, who else has come to your support or aid outside of Godspeak?
That is a long list, but there's two that stick out the most, and I got to say, my friend Carrie really helped me. I was in a bad place. I didn't know what to do. And she's the one who inspired me to go to the next school board, and her husband, Sean. They're amazing people, and they've been with me every step of the way. And I know they'll be with me to the end. And that's victory doesn't count unless they're there with me at the same time. But, so many people have come forward, and even today I'm getting phone calls from people and, other people in the community that have some pretty horrible stories of things that, you know, I'm pretty shocked, and I'm certain that the truth is going to start coming out here real quick because it's bad. But everyone in my community gives me support. And I know when people come up to me on the street and tell me, hey, man, thank you for doing that. And how do I get involved? This community has my back, and I have theirs.
I gotta give him kudos because he came to service. He steps foot in a Christian church. He stands up in front of the congregation, sweet as a button. But he comes on Father's Day. I can't think of a better illustration on Father's Day than to have a dad who is willing to bear the slings and arrows of the misery of Antifa and the secular progressive left and the alphabet,
false accusations,
yeah, mafia coming after him. And there he is, just standing strong. What a great Father's Day illustration. He's a good dad.
Thank you.
And so in closing here, guys, I mean, the school is doubling down. Is that right?
Yeah.
They're acting as if there's nothing wrong.
No, they're in charge. Yeah.
And
if they want our opinion, they'll give it to us.
Well, what's going to happen, guys, this is the beginning of this. Because there are, like Steve said, and I don't know if you caught that, there are some other really nefarious things being exposed that are coming next.
Yep.
Because other parents are coming forward with other terrible stories. And I hope it doesn't stop. I hope these parents start to stand up like crazy. And also, we need the teachers, too, because these teachers are not down with this.
There's some really good ones out there. There really yeah. are. And they've come up to me, too. And I am so happy to know that there's some good ones in there. You know, in the beginning of this, you think that, you know, everyone's out to get your kids because something like this happens. But I've met some really amazing educators along the way and staff. So I hope they come forward. But that's a tough decision. That's on them.
And the principal sent out a statement basically slandering the yep. whole thing, right?
Slandered the other newspaper, blamed them for the graffiti as though, you know, somehow that's what caused the graffiti. They probably
did it themselves.
Yeah, there's some speculation that that's the case. And mm-hmm. we've got folks following up on that, which is it's not surprising. I mean, when we have Bill Federer come on and he talks about how you start a revolution and you set fire to the front of the store and sell fire extinguishers at the back of the store. Yeah. Hegelian dialectic. But whatever they're doing, whatever their motivations are, the one thing I do know is this is bringing the community together on a topic that has been ignored and everyone knows it's there, but they were just hoping it'd go away and it's not. And now these folks are brave and are standing. And Steve's the first penguin off the iceberg.
I love it. Yeah. Any closing thoughts to our national audience, guys?
Bryce, let me qualify that. How do we put pressure? Do we have any numbers that they can call or anything we can do to get folks to respond? Have you thought about that?
So many of these things, although this is a national story that, you know, it's a local story, but it's a national issue.
Right.
People need to get involved and start paying attention. I mean, that's the biggest thing that you can do is go to these school board meetings because they run these things intentionally long and they do the worst stuff at the end of these things. Yeah. They drip with contempt towards parents. And so we need to really be a threat to them. And I mean that in the show up sense. And proclaim that they do not own our kids. And we have to do that at the local level. And that's why this is of national importance.
Yeah, amen.
I would also add, let the superintendent of schools, McLaughlin, Conejo Valley Unified School District, know of your displeasure if you want to let them. You can find those numbers. You can dig them up. You guys are resourceful. Well,
let me jump in here real quick.
Do it.
It's actually, there's other he's – in the grand scheme of things, he's not even the one to go after here. It's the rest of the board. It's the elected officials. He's an appointed official. He's an appointed into that position. So you're talking about Lisa Miller, Gorbach, drawing a blank here.
Right you can look these people up. Conejo Valley Gil. Unified School District. Look them up because there's some really nasty folks. I mean, I spoke at one of the meetings and again, they drip with contempt towards the role of
parents.
That's
exactly right.
Yep.
They can't stand us, not one bit.
And it really asks a question like, where do they get their money from, actually?
Yeah.
Who funds them?
Yeah, it's magical.
Whose children are they is actually the most important question. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it. We have your back 100%.
Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
I know that to be true. I mean, I called you last night and you put this together. So God bless you,
let's
friend.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Let us know. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
See you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.